The title this morning is Connected to the Source. Connected to the Source. Connected to the Source. It's March 9th, 2014. I mean, time is flying by. I can't believe it's already March. I can't believe it's getting to be the middle of March. I can't believe how much there's to do. And what I want to share with you this morning is, you know, there's a lot of things you can be connected to. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. And it's good to be connected to Jesus. Amen. It's not good to be connected to a gang. Amen. It's good to be connected to followers of Christ, but it's not good to hang around with people that all they do is go and party and drink all the time. But it's good to be connected. People want to be a sense of belonging to something. And I want to tell you something. Once you encounter Jesus, once you have an encounter with God, once you surrender your life to Jesus, it's never ever the same, which is good. Once you plug into the things of God, you'll find that the things you used to do on your own that you thought were cool and great fail in comparison to the things what God wants to do with you. God wants to take you places that you can't go, but He can get you there. Amen. So this morning I'm going to look at a scripture in the book of John, and we're going to talk about Jesus as the vine, and you and I are the branches. And that it's imperative that you're connected to the source, Jesus, because if you're not connected to Jesus, you'll end up dying in this crazy world that we live in. See, Christians need to stay connected to Christ. And there's things that we go through when you get connected to Christ. You get pruned sometimes. Sometimes you go through some stuff. But in order to stay connected, you got to meditate on the Word. You got to seek the things of God. You got to stay connected to the things of God, because God has got some great stuff in store for you, but you got to be plugged in. Amen? So take a look in the Bible, John 15:1, if you would. John 15:1. This is the New Living Translation. I want you to get this morning, because this will be the key scripture for the morning. I only have a couple other scriptures, but this is the key one, and I'm gonna get into us and infusing it in us and pumping it into our mindset this morning, because I want you to understand that the impossible is in your realm if you believe that. God wants to do great things in you. God wants to do great things for you. But you got to be connected. Take a look at John 15:1. Says this: I am the true grapevine. That's Jesus saying. And my Father is the gardener. What a great gardener we have, God. Amen. See him with his big hat up there and his shears and stuff. God's the master gardener. Amen. And it says he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. So he's cutting off the dead stuff that would drag you down. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit. A branch cannot produce fruit. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. In other words, if you're not connected to Jesus, you're going to be a long road of pain and sorrow and suffering. Amen? Verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. See, we got our part. Jesus is the vine, amen, and we are the branches. That means we're connected. We depend upon him. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Not a little fruit, but he says you will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? So apart from God, you can do nothing, but if you stay connected to God, you get a whole bunch of stuff. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for just a few things that you want. Isn't that what it says? It says anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So it's not about you, but it's about bringing glory to the Father. So I want to talk about a grapevine for a second so you can get an illustration of what a grapevine really is. In a grapevine, there's a big thing called a trunk, and the trunk of it is in the ground, and it has roots, and it grows in a position that is vertical. It grows. It's called the trunk of a vine. And then on it, it has a thing called a condon, or what they call an arm, which is a horizontal growth. If you ever been to a place, they will put these trellises up, and they'll have the vines grow, and they kind of loop around, you know, and they kind of grow long, and they keep on growing, and they'll cover a whole area with these things. And then attached to this arm or this vine is called the branch. That's the vertical stuff that comes off of that. So you got this big trunk, and then you have these arms that come up, and then there's branches that come off it. You and I is the branch. Amen? And at the end of the branch, there's a thing called the bud. The bud is the fruit that comes off the end of that branch. So if you get this morning, you are supposed to be the fruit, right? Because see, there's a branch, and at the end of it, there's fruit. At the end of every branch, there should be fruit. There should be proof that vine is producing something. We're going to talk about that this morning. You're going to love your pastor at the end of the day. You have to stay connected to Christ in order to bear spiritual fruit. The Bible says in that verse, a branch cannot produce fruit when it is severed from the vine. In other words, when we weren't serving God, we were severed from the vine. Our life was in chaos. It was crazy. It was messed up. It was not producing much fruit. It says, but those that remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Shout, nothing happens till I'm connected. See, nothing happens till I'm connected. You might have some small successes in the world, but for some reason the devil just snatches those things away from you. Been there, done that. Had money, had riches. And the devil came in and said, oh, it's all mine. Because I was playing on his terms, so guess what? He called the terms in and he won. But then I realized that I need to switch camps. I need to get away from the enemy's camp and become connected to Jesus, because if I stay with Jesus, the fruit says it would remain. I'm interested in something remaining. Something remains. It means it's there for somebody else to use after I'm gone. See, we're there to be a blessing to other people, just not to be blessed for my own good. I'm going to be blessed with, but I'm going to bless other people through what I've got. But you got to stay connected. See, I'm going to stay connected. I'm staying connected. See, as an individual, you got to stay connected to God in order to bear spiritual fruit. As a church, we got to stay connected to God so that we can change the spiritual landscape of Henderson in Las Vegas. So you say, how do I stay connected? You abide in the Word. That means you spend some time reading the Word of God and you pray. That's how you stay connected to the things of God. God wants you to be fruitful, but it's our responsibility to stay connected. Because at any time, you can come and say, hey, God, you know, I'm not interested in being connected, and then your lights go out. That's what happens. Or you can say, hey, you know what? I want to serve that Jesus now. I want to continue to shine for him. It's your choice. You got to meditate on his word. You got to pray. When we did praise and worship, that's another form of drawing yourself closer to God, staying connected. Here's the part we don't like, though, about vines and gardening. I like being outside. I just don't like pulling weeds. Amen. I was out pulling weeds yesterday. There's too many weeds. Amen. I'm getting that spray thing and killing them off, amen? But I still got to pluck them. And here's what happens. When you are blessed by God, when you have some spiritual fruit, when you're serving God, God still has to prune you. Uh-oh. Say, pruning is necessary for fruit to bear. See, pruning is necessary for that there's going to be some fruit that will come from it. See, the vine that is not pruned will grow out of control. A child that is not disciplined will be out of control. It's what the Bible says. See, what happens is a vine that gets long, it gets tangled, and it gets bushy. And it looks big, and you got this, all these vines and everything. But the vine does not have enough energy to produce fruit, since all its energy was spent developing the size and the foliage. Do you ever feel that your life is going, and what you're doing, you keep on doing more and more, but you accomplish less and less? When you just keep on running and doing more and more, it begins to hamper your fruitfulness. All your energy goes into maintaining these activities. You're like, got these plates, and you're trying to hold them. Do you ever do that? Man, you got 19 things going on, and you're like, oh, man, I don't want one of these plates to fall, right? Because when it happens, it takes all your energy, and then you can't develop the fruit that really makes a difference for the kingdom. Are we doing things because they are producing fruit, or are we doing things because we've always done it a certain way? Doing the same thing, expecting a different result. It's like a dog chasing his tail. See, the grapevine teaches us something, that we will produce and be more productive if we limit the areas of activity and expansion. We can't be everything to everybody. We used to be having this big food pantry and all that, and man, we did that for years, but we tried doing that for everybody, and it just, man, I'm telling you, same people coming, same people complaining. What do you mean I'm getting just two pieces of chicken and that? Well, you know, that or starve. I mean, that's what you choose. It'd be crazy. The poor we always have with us. If they call someone needs something, I'll hook them up. Otherwise, there's other places that their goal is really to be a food kitchen or to be an outreach for foods. There's some places that they have a staff of 100 people, and that's all they do 7 days a week through the church. That's what they've been called to. My calling is to teach you, to guide you, to direct you, to impart some stuff into you so that you can be the church. You are the church that's on the move. Everywhere you go, you're making a difference. Shall I need to stay in my own lane? I need to be focused on what God has told me to do. See, God's called us all to do something, but we need to stay in our lane. I'm not called to sing and run a choir. I'm not gifted in that area. I've been called to teach and preach. Not counsel. I'm not a good counselor. You wouldn't like to meet with me or my wife on counseling. Because we're going to say, huh? Now, did you do the first thing we told you to do? No, okay, then there ain't no step B until you do step A. So you need to get it this morning that you need to stay connected to God. And sometimes in the process of staying connected to God, there's pruning that takes place. And sometimes pruning becomes very severe. It's painful sometimes. But you got to understand, so I did some research about pruning. I read some stuff about gardening, and they said with any pruning system, at least 85 to 90% of the first year's old wood growth has to be removed. 85 to 90% of that plant gets mauled down on the branches so that it'll produce fruit. This allows the grapevines to maintain their structure and enhance the fruit quality. And I thought, that's sure a lot of work. Man, that's a lot of cutting going on. And then I drove down by Sunset. You've been down Sunset lately, across from the airport. They took these trees in, and they cut them back to like nothing. But watch this summer, how they're going to grow, and watch the foliage come off. It's going to like explode. But then, man, they look like they pruned them back, like they cut them back, like they're going to kill them. See, a grapevine, to reach its maximum effectiveness of producing fruit, must be pruned, to a point where it's almost severe or almost ruthless. If a dead or diseased part of the branch are not removed, they will invite insects or rot to infect the entire vine. Not only are the dead or dying branches removed from the vine, but also parts of the branch that are bearing fruit need some extreme pruning as well. So I thought about that. And I thought about, you know, how you know, sometimes it feels like you're getting really chopped up, you know. Sometimes, you know, it needs to be, you know, a little bit more pruning. It needs to have a big saw to get that out of your life. And sometimes God has to cut it away. It hurts. Sometimes he can chop it away just a little bit like that. Or sometimes, you know, since God is the master gardener, see, he's so good that he can use the pruning shears and get in close and just take care of those little detailed things in your life. Then when he's done, he always puts a little seed in it, and puts a little green grow. What's that stuff? The miracle grow, and all of a sudden, boom, man, look at you now. You're all that in a box of potato chips. Amen. See, when God sees you, he sees you at your maximum potential. And he sees you that you're going to have fruit for the kingdom. And he knows what's better for you than what you know what's better for you. And he looks at perhaps parts of your life that's inviting disease or death. Maybe there's habits that you cling to that God's saying, I just got to cut that off. Think about that. Maybe there's sins that you love more than you love the Lord. Or maybe there's relationships that God's been that's pulling you away from serving him, so he just has to say no to that relationship. Oh, no to that situation. No, you ain't going to that club. No, you ain't going to hang around with that person. Oh, man, this is a bad one over here. We've got to cut that right off completely. You've been there. It feels like you got no friends. That's okay. Less Christmas gifts. Amen? And sometimes God comes in there and he has to be delicate because there's some areas in your life that are growing, but he needs to prune back a little bit so that you can see the full potential. God doesn't want you to be a sour grape. God wants you to have some flavor. So when you step into some arena of people, they'll see the beauty of God in you and through you. But sometimes he's got to cut a little bit of it away. Sometimes he's got to cut close. Sometimes he has to take a machete to it and just cut it all off. Because he already knows what's good for you, and he wants you to be in relationship with him, and he doesn't want anything that's dead or dying to be near you. He wants it pruned off. He wants all the areas of your life producing fruit so that you'll be more fruitful in the future. Pruning must be done regularly. That's the part I don't like. I'm good once in a while, God, but man, once a year, man, you got to come and prune me. Fruit does not grow on wood that is more than a year old. That's what it said. Unless the vine is pruned annually, it will grow out of control and lose its fruit-bearing ability. If things aren't pruned in your life, there's going to be a point in life where God can't get anything more to you because you're all jammed up. You've taken all your energy. You got great foliage. And you're spread all around the place. You're spread way too thin. Come on now. And then God can't use you because you're too tired. You can't hear him because you're just too beat. I've been there, done that. You got to catch this morning. Fruit only grows upon wood that has new growth. In other words, if you don't spend time in the Word every day learning something new, there's nothing that it can be attached to. Last year's parts of the vine may grow more vine, but doesn't mean it's going to bear more fruit. So what you did last year doesn't count for what you're going to do this year. You might need to prune some things away. There's some things you may have to do differently. But we need to continue to seek God for new growth in our relationship with him. We need to walk with him more. We need to talk with him more. In order to get new growth and to be able to be a world changer, we can no longer continue to do the same old things we used to do. We cannot be content by keeping whatever we have that seemed to work last year. We need to ask God to help me grow in today's relationships. Take a look at 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5 says this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you continue to do those things, you're going to grow in the things of God. You won't become stagnant. You won't get chopped off to a point where you're going to be burning in a bush. Amen? God removes some things from you because those things are going to hurt you. There's relationships that God removed out of my life that I just went, what'd you do that for? And he said, well, I got something for you. And you need to understand that this is better for you this way. And then, you know, a little while later, it would be revealed that that person really wasn't for me, but they were against me or against my wife, and they had to go. Bye-bye. They had some kind of spirit of division or something to try to cause chaos. And God says, no, that person has to go. And sometimes you have to remove those relationships for a season and so that God can grow you. Amen. Sometimes my wife and I say, well, we don't have any friends. And I go, that's the season we're in right now, you know. Not that we don't have them, but God just kind of, you know, separates some people sometimes so that we can spend time together alone and then with God. And Lord, what are we doing here? See, we need to offer ourselves to God. We got to let the Lord prune us and cut back some things, because the success you had today doesn't mean that you're going to have success tomorrow. Here's what you got to think about pruning. Pruning is done by a gardener. Pruning is tricky work, and it takes a great amount of knowledge. That's why God is the gardener and we're not. Because he knows what's best to be done. He knows what needs to be cut and how far back it needs to be cut so that there will be some fruit. I looked at those trees when I drove down on Sunset, and man, they cut them down to nothing. But I seen that they were gardeners who were doing it. They were cutting it back, and I mean, they had so much, they had these tree things, and they're eating all these branches, you know, those big things, and you know, and they were cutting them way back, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they're just going to cut them down. I go, someone said, no, they're cleaning them all back because they'll grow twice as big and be more fruitful. Stuck in my head. Can't wait to see that. God's waiting that for our lives as well. See, God is the gardener and we're not. We're the branches. And one branch can't say to the other, hey, that other one needs some more pruning. No. God will do that. Amen? We're good at that, right? Hey, go prune that one over there, God. I mean, that one's just jacked up, messed up. I mean, come on, Lord. No. That's not how it works. God is the only one that has the right to come and prune our areas of our life. And sometimes he cuts things way back because he knows what's ahead of you. He knows that you can reach your full potential if you allow him to prune you. And it hurts sometimes. Family members sometimes just, he prunes them out of your life for a temporary season so that they don't get in the way of what God wants you to do. Sometimes you tell people all these great plans and they look at you like you're crazy and then try to detour you from that and say, no, you can't do that because, you know, you only got this education. Or you can only do this. You only got $500 in your pocket. You're dreaming like you got $5 million in my pocket. Yeah, but you don't know who I'm connected to. My wife will always help me there. She goes, you know, you dream big, but you don't dream big enough. She helps me. She goes, you can have all this. What did you say? You can only have this? No, you can have all this. You're good at that. She allows me to increase my horizons a little bit to say that is possible with God. Stretch me a little bit. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know. She goes, but God knows. See, if it was up to you and I as branches, we'd never want to prune ourselves. It's too painful. You look at a vine, a vineyard, when it gets done being pruned early in the spring, and there's all a bunch of dead twigs and branches and all kinds of stuff all over the place. But see, the master gardener God, he has his eyes ahead of us. He has his eyes on the harvest. And you got to understand, he already sees you beautiful. He already sees you plentiful. He already sees you growing. He already sees you in your position of authority. God already sees you there, but what he's trying to get your attention to see there. And sometimes he's got to prune some successes out of your way so that you understand you don't stay there. You're going to have to move on a little further to some greater successes. T.D. Jakes always didn't have a church of, 10 or 20,000 people. He started small. He only had a few people in his life, but he had a few successes, and then he had a few more successes, and God would prune some things back in his life, and all of a sudden, he'd have some more successes, and he'd meet with other people, and all of a sudden, he was got more successful, but he didn't allow those successes, his past success, to hold him from the great success that God has for him. And what God did for him, he'll do for me. He might do it in a different way. It might be a different time frame. It might be a different structure the way he does it, because I'm not in that part of the country. I'm not in a Bible Belt. Amen. I'm in Hell's Kitchen. Amen. And I'm just a master cook, and I'm just stirring it up, and the devil don't like it. I know we don't like being pruned. It doesn't sound like fun, but the end result of it is joy. When you get pruned, there's joy, not pain. I'll close with this scripture in John 15:10. The Bible says this: if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Go to verse 16 real quick. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear what? And that your fruit should what? And that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I will what? Sounds like a good deal to me. So if I stay connected to the vine, Jesus, and I let the gardener God clean me up and trim me up and cut some back stuff out of me so I don't get decay from the sin. Your tooth, you get a thing called tooth decay, and it goes underneath. The tooth looks good on the outside, but the inside, it's crumbling. Sometimes it needs to be plucked out, pulled out, or, they put the filling in there, and then they put a crown over it or whatever they need to do, a veneer or whatever, to make that solid again so that tooth gets preserved. Because you're going to have those teeth for, day you die, you hope. It's hard to eat steak when you got no teeth. He didn't choose us, or we didn't choose him. He chose us. He made the first step in choosing us. I like that. He approached me. He says, but I chose you and appointed you. I like this. That you should go and bear fruit. And that the fruit will remain. Everywhere you go, there's going to be something that people are going to look at you and say, there's something different about what? Well, it's just the fruit that remains. It's a good fruit. It's not a sour grape. You ever have sour grapes? Man, that's horrible. But if you get into a nice grape, man, it's got a sweet taste to it. They've probably had to prune back that vine 10 times till they got to that sweetness. Because remember how bitter you were before you got saved, and how stinky you were, and how sour tasting you were. What came out of your mouth was always negative. And then God started pruning after you got saved, and he pruned some stuff back. And then you got a little bit, you're not as rough as you used to be and gruff as you used to be. And then he pruned some more stuff back. And all of a sudden now you're like, oh, I just love everybody. Praise the Lord Jesus. I didn't say you liked everybody. I said, but you got to love everybody. But it took some pruning to go on along. There was sometimes, man, he had to come in there and just, man, like, God, that hurt. I don't like that person. You're going to work with them. God, help me. I'm teaching you something during the blessing season. Sometimes my wife don't like me, but she loves me. Because she's going, God, just prune a few more of those things away from him. He's a little rough on those edges. But God got to me. She prayed, and then I changed. I'm no longer arrogant, cocky, and conceited. When it comes out, I'll hear about it. Because she'll be going to the master gardener. You're getting a little bit of that into him again. Come on. But now God's more of a gentleman to me. He says, you know, there's just a few more things I got to take out of you. Just a couple rough edges. I just need to just get that out of you. But when I started, man, he was in there with a saw. Man, he had a chainsaw. Man, you messed up, boy. But he did it because he's seen the potential that was in me. He does it to you because he sees the potential inside of you. He sees the world talking about you because they don't like you, because there's something good inside of you. There's something sweet inside of you. There's something great inside of you. And he says the fruit would remain, and then it says whatever. Hey, whatever you ask, the Father in my name, he'll give to you. Whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, he'll give to you. What a promise. All we have to do is be pruned a little bit so that we can have some fruit that will remain. We do that by meditating on the Word, by prayer, by fasting, by doing things God's way. And then when we start doing those things, we become more like him. The things that used to bug you don't bug you no more. Just kind of duck roll. You got like, it just rolls off. My wife and I have been married, it'll be 21 years this year. There's a lot of things that roll off us now, but when we first were dating and hanging out, it didn't, man. We're like, but then God came and pruned some things out of both of us and made us more loving and more compatible, and he cleaned some stuff up because he sees the potential in us, just like he sees the potential in you. There is greatness in all of you. Get that this morning. There is greatness in all of you. You're not defined by the degree that you have, the education that you have, the color of your skin, if you're male or female. That means nothing. When he looks at the vine of God, and he sees the branches that need to be trimmed back a little bit, he sees them all the same. He sees them in their future state. It's okay to get pruned. Some seasons, the pruning's a little bit more than it is in other seasons. Sometimes it seems I get pruned a couple times a year, and you're like, well, what? God goes, well, you know, there might be a what do they call it, Indian summer, and I need you to blossom a little bit more. Come on now. God wants you to be the best tasting fruit, so when people come by, they want to associate with you because there's something about you that's different than the way of the world. You're not that corrupt, foul language, goofy person that just no one wants to hang around with. I was there. God had to prune that all out of me. It took some chainsaws to get out of that. Come on now. I know you're all perfect and everything, but I came from a perfect family and everything, but I still was, serving the devil, and, you get the devil's ways. Yeah, it takes some while to prune out those thorns, which were the horns in my head, so that I could have a halo. Takes some time to get there. Takes loving some people that are unlovable. And you know who they is. You can just go, they're unlovable. That's your own family members. You go, oh, God, how'd you put them in my family? How did that happen? But you got to love them. And you pray, Lord, prune them too. Prune them, Lord God, because they got some great things in them, but Lord God, they haven't seen the full capacity yet. And every time you go through a season that he's pruning some stuff, thank him, because there's some greatness that's right about to come. And that's when the devil's saying, don't prune them, let them stumble, let them fall. Let there be some great foliage, but let there be no fruit. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to have them waste their time. Stay focused, God says. Stay focused on what you need to stay focused on. Don't be having 19 plates going up. Come on now. We all get so busy, and then we ain't doing nothing for God. Or we're doing all this stuff for God, we think, and there ain't nothing coming out of it. We've done that in the ministry. We did this, and we were in 12 groups, and you know we did 19 things. I mean, you know, come on. And the whole time God says, would you just spend a little time with me because I got to prune you, and you're so running around, I can't have time to prune you so that you can see something that I want to show you. Going to your friend's house. I got to go do this. I got to go have a prayer. I'm going to have a men's meeting. I'm going to have a men's prayer breakfast. I'm going to go. And all of a sudden, I'm doing 80 things. And the whole time, God says, you just shut up and sit down and spend some time with me. I got to prune you. You're moving, and he's chasing me like this. Will you get over here? I'm like, hey, I don't like that. You hear that sound like that, and you're like, no. The whole time, he says, sit down, because I want to take my time. When you get a haircut, you don't move all around. Otherwise, you got a hair. Man, you know, people will be laughing at you. Look at like Mo Howard or something when you get out of that chair. That's why I don't cut kids' hairs anymore. Right? Moving around. Sorry. The hairline's way up here, you know. You look good bald, you know. You cut their ears and stuff, you know. And that's why they can't hear anymore in my household, you know. They cut their ears off, huh? Yeah. Allow God prune you a little bit. Allow God to move some things out of your life. I just moved. We got rid of a ton of stuff that we haven't used for 10 years. God gave it away. Just go. Five truckloads. Five pickup trucks full of stuff. It was taking up space where God can now fill it with something else that he would like to have. Not what I want to have, but what he would want to have. We get too much clutter in our lives. Then we're tripping over it and stumbling over it and trying to move it, wasting time we could be spending with God. God wants our life somewhat organized. Amen. I didn't say you have a compartment for every little thing and being, you know, crazy about it, but that's okay. But, you know, but he wants you to, you know, not be tripping over stuff. That's why he removes some of the shrubbery and the twigs that are at the edge, and he has to cut those things. We got greenery in front of our house. What's supposed to be green right now, it's yellow. But it says just to chop that off so that new growth can come. See, I learned a little bit about this garden, and I'm going to have to call these guys that know what they're really doing. Amen, because I don't want to mess it up. But it's an art to be a gardener. There's certain things you got to prune back and certain things you can't prune back. But see, the master gardener, God, he knows what you need. He knows it better than you know it. So you just got to trust him. Remember, you're connected to the source. You're connected to Jesus. He's the great vine. We're just the branch that gets the fruit at the end. See how good he is? He lets you be connected to the fruit that gets the remain. He's just the source. He's standing in the background. See, he stood in the background to put you into the forefront so that you'd be the mouthpiece for him, so that you'll taste good, that you'll taste sweet. Because even Jesus got pruned. And that's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all those spoke about it, because they thought it was like a sour wine. Remember when they gave Jesus a sour wine when he was dying on that cross? Think about why they did that. Because they knew how sweet he was. They wanted to sour him up. And no matter what they did, they couldn't. And those that are trying to silence you up, those that are trying to sour you up, you just tell them, hey, I'm connected to the source. Everything else I have in my life is a resource. The money I have, the job that I have, all those things are a resource because God's the one who gave me those jobs to make it, because he is the source. and he's going to create you to be in his image. And in his image, it's perfect. In his image, you will have more than enough. Didn't the Bible say they even prune the good stuff back? So it gets even gooder, if that's even good English. It gets fuller. It gets more potent. It becomes better. It becomes more sweet taste. I mean, all those vineyards in California, and they keep on cutting them back. And every time the wine, they say, becomes even better and more sweeter. And why? Because they've cut back. Think about on a vine how much more God wants to do for you when he cuts some stuff back to make you even better. I remember them always saying that as you get older and you get more mature, you know, men always look better, you know, as they more mature, you know, well, finally because they're maturing. That's why. Amen. They've been acting like a fool for the other 55 years or they're finally maturing, right? I mean, you know, you're born premature, then you're immature, and then someday hopefully you mature, right? I mean, you know, and you think about that, though. You get better with age. Why? Because God continues to have more years of pruning, the better you're going to get, man and woman. The better you're going to look. The better you're going to taste. The things that come out of your mouth, you sometimes you won't even have to give an answer to people because you know they're just stupid and ain't going to get it, so you just have to walk away. But then there's times you're going to have wisdom, and even you teenagers and young people, you can have wisdom way beyond your years that will astound people. They'll say, wait a minute, you're only 15 and you came up with all that? How did you do that? Well, because God's been pruning me at a younger age. And when at a younger age, things grow a little faster because you don't hit your peak until you're about 18 or 20 years old. It's your height of growth. Amen? Come on now. Those kids, man, you got future potential here. You got presidency in your mindset. You could be a governor or a mayor. You could be one that changes a whole city because you serve God. Don't let the world limit you. Allow God to prune you back a little bit so that you can see a little bit more of who you are in God. That's why I like big mirrors in my house. I can see God, can see me. Lord, I see you're doing a masterpiece work on me. But I didn't get where I was at without a little bit of pruning. I didn't get into the job I'm at by being a loafer and being late and, you know, being tardy and not doing my assignment in school. And you know, come on. I'm not here to take these shears and dig that stuff out like a mole, man. Get that right out of you. I didn't get where I got and where I is and where I'm going by just being, you know, woe is me. I'm going to do what I want. No, God had to prune some stuff to get it out of my way so I could see. When I had hair down in front of my eyes, I couldn't see. He had to cut that away so I could see. He was tired of me looking like a beetle. Amen? God loves you. God wants you to produce much fruit. Not just a little fruit. What did the Bible say? Much fruit. That means a whole bunch. That means when you go, you're going to have so much more than you need that you can share with somebody else. Come on. More than enough. But nothing happens until you're connected. These projectors don't work until they get powered. You know where the power is? In Jesus. That's your vine. That's your source. That's where you get connected. And the gardener is just there just to trim some stuff away so you can see a little bit more clear. You might not see it now, but he's clearing some brush out of the way. He might have to throw it in the fire and burn it up so it doesn't come back to haunt you. Come on. Sometimes he throws it in the fire so there's nothing left but ashes in it, and ashes can't come back to haunt you. That's why I don't have a problem running for office. They can open up every skeleton, every closet. There'll be nothing left but ashes. Boy, that guy's almost like he's perfect. Well, so was Jesus. Pretty arrogant, Pastor. No, it ain't. I serve a great God. I serve an awesome God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He said it in the Bible that I can just call on him and he'll do it for me. Why? Because I'm plugged in. I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm connected. I'm family. You understand what family? We take care of each other. We look out for one another. Sometimes we've got to prune back a little bit just so that we can see a little clearer. So be thankful when you're going through a season. Thank God that you're going to get pruned a little bit. See, the season is perfect because it's springtime. And the time that you prune things back is in the spring because God wants you to have a great harvest in the fall. But he doesn't wait for the fall for you to have the harvest. He's going to let you have a little bit, glimpses of it, all the way until you see the full thing. That's the God that we serve. He's an on-time, all right, always good God. So be open to be pruned. Be open to get some things cut back in your life because he's only looking out for your best. And don't look at it as a setback. God's going to move you forward in some things. God bless you. I'm not taking a step back. I'm just getting pruned because God's going to put me on display. You're like a rose. You know, there's a big rose bush, and I cut them all the way back, and there was nothing. And then, man, come spring that where there was like 50 roses on there, most beautiful roses. And then what'd you do? You cut them way back again for the next season, and even had more, and they were even more fragrant, was even stronger. The beauty of that rose was even better. The integrity of it was stronger. That's all God's doing for you. He's making your integrity. He's making everything in your life stronger. So that you can change your world and a generation. Because when you get successful, he doesn't want you to get full of yourself, but he wants you to be full of him. Because that success doesn't really mean nothing to you because I got another one coming. It's just a normal thing in my life with God. I want my head so big I can't fit through the door because I'm so successful. I got to drive. You got to pick me up in a limo, and you got to drive. You know, I got to have water that's 42 degrees when I come to your church, and it's got to be a certain bottle of water. No, it's H2O is H2O, baby. But we get out of control. We get. I mean, we've seen it in our ministry. People, oh, if I'm going to come and preach at your church, I need $10,000. It's funny. God didn't tell me that, but that's okay. Yeah. And I got to have water a certain way. It's got to be, you know, chilled at a certain temperature, and it's got to be, some kind of crazy water from Hawaii or something, you know. And you're like, well, you know, really? Really? That success got, your head got way too big. You really needed 15 cars and 17 houses? What, you got an orphanage? That's cool. I'll buy one of those. Need a place for some teens? Yeah, okay, we'll get a bigger house and you can all stay there. Come on. Because see, as a branch, you're supposed to reach out and touch somebody. Heavenly Father, bless your people. As they go forth this week, Lord God, let them understand that, Lord God, they're connected to the greatest source, Jesus. They're connected to a gardener that loves them and is looking out for them. And that, Lord God, we're just here to bring you glory. We're here to bring you, Lord God, just happiness, a smile on your face. So, Lord God, we're not going to fight you. We're not going to run from you, Lord God. We're going to run towards you. And as you prune us, as you trim back some stuff that's from a year ago, those old wounds. See, that's the nice thing about Jesus, that your Father in heaven, the Master God, cuts away those old wounds so that we don't have to carry that with us. You cut away those past hurts from the years before, Lord God, so that there's a fresh skin on the branch. And that healing can take place and growth can take place. Thank you, Lord, for pruning us. Thank you for allowing us to stay connected to Jesus. So, Lord, no matter how severe the pruning needs to be during this season, we accept it because we know you've got great plans. There's greatness and potential in us. And that, Lord God, you see, Lord God, the future. You see the end before and the beginning. And you see us with much fruit. Let your people, Lord God, go do your word. Let them be the branch that reaches out and touches somebody. And as they pull the bud of that of that grape, Lord God, that they taste the sweetness of Jesus from the way that we act and the way we react and the way that we talk and the way that we carry ourselves. Let it raise the bar for somebody else, Jesus, so they can have everything that we have because we serve Jesus. It's yes and amen for us that serve you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Continue to bless us. Allow this week to be our best week ever, Lord. Open up the doors that need to be opened. Close the doors that need to be closed. Guide us. Let us hear your voice and let us move on what you say. For we're connected. We're family. You only have the best in store for me. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone that heard it said, amen. Amen. And amen.